This week on the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast, we're covering the latest Nintendo Direct, including the news about Super Famicom and Super NES Nintendo Switch Online. Night Trap has made the transition from Pile of Shame Live to Future Retro. We talk about Fire Emblem Three Houses and some announcements on future videos.
Welcome, Dojo Disciples, to another archived edition of the Famicom Dojo podcast. This one was recorded... Wait, no, this is a new one. We're recording it today. Sean, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I mean, we were trying to get things working with the streaming and, well...
Yeah.
anyway, how are you?
That's okay. You know what? We are better taped.
Oh, that, I mean, so technically we're taping, if you're taping it live and you can edit it later.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to edit out all the junk. In fact, you might not even be hearing this right now. And if you are, then we decided it was worth keeping in. So you got to imagine what we cut. All right.
For anyone who's not aware and hasn't been listening for a long time, practically anytime one of us has said that, we've always kept it in.
Oh, yes. Always. I mean, well, no. Well, yes.
Almost always. Pretty much always.
Almost always. Almost always. And some of the outtakes you always put in as omake anyway, so.
Yes, because, I mean, why else? What else are we going to do with that time?
We are hilarious.
It's true.
But anyway, it's nice to be back after a little break. For those unaware, It's just been a busy time with getting podcasts recorded, mostly due to just timing.
Yeah. We tried like every week with something, like we planned to do it and then something came up for one of us and it was just like, we'll try it again next week.
Yeah, sick kids or family things.
Yeah, I'm out of town frequently.
You have an exciting life. I barely leave this town. Very rarely.
Sometimes I would like to barely leave.
Well, we can all dream. Sean's dream of barely leaving town.
That's right. Just get to the edge and be like, nah.
So, Sean, did you know that about a month ago there was or depending on when this podcast comes out, 2 months ago. 5 years ago, we'll see. There was a Nintendo Direct.
I do, because that was the same day.
If I don't say the date, then they won't know which one, so it might be new.
Oh, that's a good point. No, I do, because we had tried to do a live stream video cast, and the death of Google Hangouts for Air has apparently meant, at least for the time being, the death of live podcasts from us.
Which is strange, because other people do it, and some of those people are idiots.
Well, I think we've figured it out what the problem is.
Oh, no. Okay, well, but anyway.
Why don't you name some of those people? Let's just burn those bridges completely.
Yes. I hate that popular streamer you like.
Oh, no. Is it me?
By you, I mean like everyone listening.
Oh, okay.
There. Yeah, that one. Oh, I know you like them, but turns out that they're terrible.
So yeah, there was a Direct, and
I was all like, woo! This is quality writing going on right now.
I watched it. I mean, I sat through the whole thing.
I gave it 2 dojos up.
Oh no! Out of how many?
Out of 3.
Oh, okay. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
I mean, how could you not be excited? There was customization options for Pokemon Shield where you can make curry. Okay.
Maybe. I mean, okay. Fine. I already have Breath of the Wild. Thank you.
There was a special message from Tom Nook. Okay.
That wasn't right, that actually was pretty going. Clever. I like that bit.
I will say that Luigi's Mansion 3 is looking better.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Luigi's, it looks like a full game, although I never played the second one. The first one I rented and completed in like, I don't know, an afternoon, and I'm like, well, I'm glad I didn't spend $50 on this and never play it again.
I never picked up a copy for myself, which I should, because it's one of the few games where the Japanese version has full English on it.
Okay.
A lot of launch titles did that. Smash Brothers as well. Smash Brothers Melee for the GameCube had English, and I think perhaps Pikmin. I'm not sure. But anyway, that looked good. I'll probably get that. I don't know why they announced it as a thing, but like the sequel to the remake of Trials of Mana looked very nice. But I feel like I've already seen that, maybe during the Square Enix E3 something. I don't know. I feel like that wasn't new news. Oh, by the way, I'm guessing you didn't, but you didn't pick up the collection of Mana, did you?
No.
It's really good. It's really good.
I don't even know what is it magic? Help.
Okay. Let's. Do you know Secret of Mana?
I'm aware that it's a thing that exists. Yes.
Ah, you haven't played it. No. Well, up until a few weeks ago, I hadn't played it either. So, I played it for the first time in this collection. But I feel like that might be one of the ones on the Super Famicom Mini.
Oh, there's or Super one Nintendo of there's Mini. One of them. Oh, we'll get to that.
Well, that was
a thing. That was the thing I definitely want to talk about. You, yes, you can sponsor the Famicom Dojo video game podcast and video web series. Become a subscriber to our Patreon today. Among many cool benefits, you'll get shout-outs on this podcast, like these fine folks who are at our Dojo Disciple tier: Brady Cashin, Chris Berkland, Colin Swinborn, Earl Grey III, Lena, and Paul Spicknall. We have a bunch of followers who haven't pledged anything yet, so why don't you consider becoming a member today? You might get a t-shirt. In fact, we have 5 t-shirts available, which we're shipping out to eligible members this month. Even if you can give just $1, it's better than an ad. Thanks everyone for your continued support, and on with the show. Oh, the other big announcement surprised the heck out of me.
Yeah? What was that?
Super Famicom and Super NES Online for Switch.
I guess I wasn't super surprised because I figured they needed to do it at some point because they were running out of NES games.
I suppose. I mean, there are hundreds of NES games. I guess they didn't... Well, there's so many.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of NES games, but like the ones that they have the licensing to,
right,
you know.
Right. Well, there were a ton on... virtual console that definitely aren't on this, so it makes you wonder.
And I mean, but that's the thing. That's exactly what I was saying. Like back in the virtual console days, these were basically just things where Nintendo approached the companies and they went, "Yeah, they're just lying around. We got no use for them, you know. Oh, we can make a little bit of money with them. That's cool." But now you got things like Capcom releasing the, you know, the Mega Man collections and stuff like that. They're finding they can make more money re-releasing them that way. Square is doing the Mana collection.
True.
You know, a lot of these companies are releasing them, you know, either individually, like all the Neo Geo stuff is being released by Hamster individually for $10 rather than then they don't have to pay as much into, you know, getting it on a virtual console type system.
Right.
Sega released their Genesis collection, the Sega Genesis Classics collection. So they're not putting any stuff on. So I think I think we're in a different age right now where these companies are like, no, we're going to do our own thing. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, honestly, I've been working on a video lately. That's kind of taking me back through the idea, something that I had tried to do around 2013 when we first got like the Wii U virtual console, which was, I thought at the time, going to be a vast improvement over the Wii one. That turned out not to be the case, but yeah, the whole landscape has changed quite a bit. But that's not to say I'm not excited for what the SNES and Super Famicom online channel could provide to us.
Well, I mean, it's already great. Like, I gotta say, like, for the whopping price of free, basically, you
well,
know,
you
I
have
mean,
to have a subscription.
I know, but I was already subscribed, you know. So, like, a lot of people thought that when Super Famicom games got released, it would be a premium fee. Like, that it would cost, that they'd either raise the price of the network itself, or that they would charge an additional, like, you have to pay a little extra for these things. So, since I was already subscribed on the family plan, it just suddenly I had 20 more games. And a lot of them are quite good.
That is true, and there were ones even available for the SNES. There was an extra Super Famicom game in the lineup because they had it on the Super Famicom version, but it was never released in America, so they put it on there too.
Yeah, Puyo Puyo, Super Puyo Puyo 2, which is a great game, by the way.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah, I tweeted my whole experience downloading that. And also downloading the Super Famicom one.
Yeah.
And doing some comparisons. So it turned out there weren't a ton of surprises or gotchas or like reasons to get one over the other. But I did have people asking questions about how to do it. And this time, oh boy, were we ready. We have a video for that. And at least for a little while.
And More than likely in the future, there'll be some games that are different between the two anyway. So
at some point. But for the time being, people were pretty excited to be able to do it and were surprised by how easy it was. And apparently didn't get the memo the first time around. So I'm glad that this video is out there. And at least for the time being, we got some decent hits on it. So, yay!
Oh, yeah. I'm very pleased. So what's great is you got Super Metroid right from the beginning. You know, didn't hold that one back. You got Mario Kart, you got Super Mario World, you got Zelda, like right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some kind of ones that I was it's Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, yeah, right at the beginning. And then you've got some kind of unexpected ones like Stunt Race FX.
Oh, yeah. Like I literally bought a copy of that, I don't know, a year or two ago. Right around the time, I guess Star Fox 2 was out for the SNES Classic Edition. And I'm like, no one's ever going to see this again. And
well, yeah,
boy, was I wrong.
Because the licensing and stuff. Yeah. And, I mean, I have it I have the Japanese version, which is called Wild Tracks. And it's very impressive what it was able to do. And then a game that I've never played before that I'm really excited to dive into, Breath of Fire.
Yeah,
I've always heard about that. That series.
I think I started.
Strangely, Joan Mac 2 rather than the first Joan Mac.
Well,
one was a little surprising. But you got Pilot Wings. You got I don't know. It's and as I said, Super Puyo Puyo 2. So, and Star Fox. I mean, for the price of not any more than you were currently paying.
Right, which is fantastic. And I guess they're hoping to snag memberships with this, maybe.
My guess is my membership just renewed about a week ago.
Mm, ditto.
So they announced this basically, I think, to keep people from turning that auto-renew thing off.
Ah, yes, that is true.
So we might get the N64 ones about this time next year. You know what I mean?
Sure. Although that was one of the announcements, or maybe that's part of it, was that Bethesda was going to release Doom 64 for some reason.
Yeah.
Why Bethesda? Like, doesn't id publish their own stuff, or do they not?
Oh, Bethesda bought id.
Oh God, I don't know anything about anything. Apparently,
yeah. The new Doom is Bethesda.
Oh, God.
Wolfenstein is Bethesda.
Oh, no.
Where have you been the last 10 years?
Blissfully ignorant.
It's okay.
On Bethesda, look up what Human has to say about the death of Prey 2.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so that's coming, which is out of nowhere. And they also announced, they also released all the other, like, the Doom 1, Doom 2, Doom 3 for the Switch.
Man. So why?
And,
why do Doom 64? Like, yeah. Was it an original game? I never played Doom 64. Was it, like, different?
It was its own thing.
Okay.
It was its own thing. Okay. It had different music. It had different levels. And a lot of people consider it one of the best Dooms, actually.
Interesting.
Which is interesting.
Okay.
So a lot of people were, like, losing it when that happened. But again, that's the thing that I'm saying with things like N64 and the possibility of Virtual Console. Recently, you had Turok being released as separate games with physical releases as well. You know, you've had Turok released, you've had Doom 64. There'll probably be more. So I think Nintendo's going to have a harder time getting people aboard a subscription service or whatever, unless the companies are small and wouldn't release them by themselves. Like we're getting a lot of sure. the old, Data East titles or something. Irem. I don't know. Well. But yeah, I'm excited.
This reminds me too that there was excited. A story recently that someone got Doom running on a McDonald's order kiosk.
Yeah. I've seen people get Doom running on an ATM, or as we say in Wisconsin, a time machine.
Yes. Don't ask us why. Just.
Go oh, you with can it. Ask. You can ask. Ask to your iPhone right now.
Oh, good Lord. Okay.
All right, I'll tell you. It's because there was a company, TYME, which produced a lot of the ATMs in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. So it's just like how tissue became Kleenex and a copy machine became a Xerox machine.
Yep.
ATMs around that area were referred to as time machines, even though the company is long since gone. We still do that because we're crazy.
But the best part about these was that they were these freestanding little buildings in most cases that you would walk into
yep.
and say, you know, it's winter, like it is in the Midwest frequently.
Yep.
They were
almost
warm.
Every year.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah, they were warm.
So nowadays, yeah. Anyway, Doom, cool. Good stuff. Talk
Doom,
about
yeah.
a time machine.
I know. When Doom was out, there were time machines.
Well, the other okay. interesting thing that they announced along with the SNES Classic stuff, and I guess this is also how they're making their money off of this, is that you can get up to 4 controllers that you can then pair with your Switch.
Which I did. I got 4 controllers.
So, right, and then in Japan you get the Super Famicom style ones, of course, and in America you get the Super NES,
yep.
and I mean...
And I have one sitting behind me right now that I will send to you when you pay me for it.
Oh, yeah, I need to do that. That's got to happen soon. Yes,
it's very cool. The box can... Yeah, we've got the video on right now. Can you see me, Sean?
Oh, hold on. I turned my video off. Yeah, I see it.
Oh, that then never
Oh, yeah,
mind.
No, I see what you're... Okay, yeah, it's very
yep. it
unassuming.
Came in each... It's very cool because inside the larger box were these 4 smaller boxes.
Oh,
so
wild.
I can just throw a shipping label on that and I can send it to you. And do you want to do an unboxing or should
yeah,
I?
Yeah, I'll gladly do a stuff Vink sent me on this.
Okay.
That'll be great.
Cool. So I'll send that to you whenever.
I mean, I should probably buy a Super Nintendo one too. And that's the thing about these, right? It's like they're limited release, annoyingly.
Yep.
I guess somehow I could finagle a way to get a Japanese subscription just so I can buy a Super Famicom thing, or I might as well just pay it like the $200 people are charging, whatever. But, the fact that you have one now and it's got a working microphone and I don't,
yep.
I'm just so sad.
I'm sorry. I'm
so
sorry.
Like that's,
well, I'm hoping in the future they open it up that they'll allow you to buy a second set, mm-hmm. you know, but who knows?
Yeah. But yeah, that's still pretty limited. So why not just open it up to everybody? I mean, I guess you have to have the subscription to use them.
I mean, I think they want people to use it as a reason for subscribing, and they want to make it hard for people to just, you know, for third party sellers to just buy 100 of them.
Right.
and, you know, sell them. So
the only ones I want are the Famicom ones. Like, let me choose Nintendo of America. I don't want the NES ones. I just don't. I don't. There's no microphone on them.
They look pretty sweet.
They do. So, like, unlike the NES and Famicom ones, these do not slide and dock into your Switch. Mostly, I think
they
the shoulder
not.
Buttons alone would be a reason, but there's other stuff along the top that
yep.
would make that infeasible.
Hey, you want to know what's cool?
Me.
Dang it. Okay, you want to know another thing that's cool?
Aw, you think I'm cool?
Yeah, sure.
Sure, what else is cool?
What else is cool? What's cool is that the new Dragon Quest 11 has the 2D mode.
Mm.
You know, you can switch to from 2D to 3D.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've seen these. But if you're in the 2D mode, you can use the NES, the Super NES Classic controller to play through the entire game.
Now, that's upsetting because only people who have a subscription then can... Okay.
Well, I mean, you can play through it with your regular Switch controllers as well.
Right.
I mean, but if you do have that one, you can play it in an entirely retro system. It has enough buttons. There's no need to use analog sticks, and it's fully supported.
There's probably an entire topic here about this kind of thing. You know, and you know what would be great to talk about during that topic.
What?
Link's Awakening's Future Retro.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm going to write that idea down right now so I don't forget.
You're going to forget.
I'm going to forget. So speaking of which, should we wrap up this segment then and move on to Future Retro and Pile of Shame?
I want to mention two things real quick that I'm excited about that maybe no one else is. But Tokyo Mirage Sessions, hashtag FE Encore is coming, and I think I might beat it this time. I bought it on the Wii U, but the Wii U was not a great system to play things on.
Sure.
Let me take that back. The Wii U was great when I could use the off-TV play,
mm-hmm.
but this game used the second screen as kind of like a smartphone-type app.
Yeah.
So I had to have it on the TV, so I never was able to play it. Unlike some of the other games, which I played mainly in off-TV mode, and it came out really late, and I was already in the Switch hype by the time I, you know, had time to dig into it. So I'm super glad that's coming, and I'm looking forward to playing the remaster of the first Xenoblade. It will be my third time buying this game.
No. But maybe it'll be my first, finally, because the one copy I could find at the time went to you.
Is at my house, right?
Yeah. So I took that bullet.
Yep.
Whatever that's worth. But yep. But man, I'm just glad I don't have to go to GameStop this time.
I don't see any. I don't. You know what? I don't see the problem with GameStop personally. But maybe it's because I don't live there anymore. But every time I've gone back to the States to go to a GameStop to pick up a couple things, it's been a lovely experience.
Was your copy used? Like, was it technically used?
Nope.
I'm trying to remember if it was actually new or not. Because one of the problems was that they would take a copy home, and they would open it up.
Mine was actually
and then say,
actually
oh,
in shrink wrap. It was new, but yeah, it's a common problem. That's why I've. There was this pinball collection I wanted to buy when I was there last time, but since it was the copy that was display only, it wasn't shrink wrapped, and
no.
I said, "No, that's okay. That's okay. I'll skip that."
Womp womp.
But in general, I haven't had much problem with them, and I worry about the death of game retail, so.
Yeah, that's a separate thing.
That's a whole other write that one down.
Right. And now, a haiku. 16 bits online. 4 candy-colored buttons. Super Famicom. A haiku. 16 bits online. Buttons like purple Smarties. Super Nintendo. You know, every time I go by where I know a Gaming Generations is, I check to make sure it's still there.
I know. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? My favorite supper club went out of business last month.
Oh, no. Which one?
Yeah, Michael's.
Oh, where was that? Nuwasa?
Yeah. Sad about that, because there's not many supper clubs left, so... if people don't know what a supper club is, you know what? Look it up. We should move on.
It's a restaurant that serves old fashions or something, right?
It's another Midwest thing, which I recommend. But if they're still around by the time you visit Wisconsin, which all of you, I'm sure, are planning to do.
Absolutely. But, I mean, people keep saying that a lot of their favorite entertainers and so forth come from Wisconsin, they're realizing. I mean, Chris Farley was from Wisconsin, right?
Yes, he was.
It wasn't
Madison. Yep.
Yeah. Who am I thinking of? Oh no, who was like? Tons of people are from Milwaukee.
Willy Wonka. What's his name?
The
not Johnny Depp.
Yeah, not Johnny Depp. Yeah.
Why can I not remember his name? Oh, that's terrible.
Listen, it's okay. I'm sure it'll come to you in time.
Liberace is from Wisconsin.
Gene Wilder is who you're thinking of. It took me a second.
Gene Wilder, that's it. Yeah. Gene Wilder.
I mean, Wayne's World took place in Milwaukee for the most part.
It did.
Aurora is kind of Milwaukee. That's Chicago. Sorry, I'm thinking backwards.
No, they
went to Milwaukee for a concert, and they were very excited.
They went to Milwaukee for a
there
concert,
was an entire
but they were
sequence.
In Minnesota. Yep.
Sorry, yes, Aurora is a Chicago suburb. And
you got to hear Alice Cooper explain the history of the name origin of Milwaukee.
And now Alice Cooper's a DJ.
Alice Cooper's a DJ now?
Yeah.
Where have I been?
I know.
Japan. That's where I've been.
Japan for quite a while.
Okay, so Future Retro.
Yeah. Let's talk about some games I've been playing. Huh?
In Future Retro, we talk about contemporary video games that have the potential to be remembered as classics.
Or classics that we played for the first time. Or just more recently.
And in Pile of Shame, we talk about the games we haven't been playing, and we try to convince each other if we should.
Or not.
Have you been playing any games lately?
Well, I have. In fact, I had to decide, by process of elimination, which thing I would talk about.
Ooh, you've been playing more than one game since we podcasted last in June.
It's wild. Yes, it's true. Well, I've for one thing, I've been doing, I guess I'm going first. I've been doing the Pile of Shame live thing. And for those who've listened to the podcast long enough, they know that some things have moved from a Pile of Shame to a Future Retro. So I'm going to talk about Night Trap.
Ooh.
I got my copy
right here.
Ooh. If you want, you all could I'll put that in the show notes too. You could watch the live stream where I slowly discover the wonders of Night Trap. But I figured I'd give you a condensed version, because the more I went through the stream, the more it kind of formulated in my brain what was actually going on, what I was playing, and how I felt about it, so I can be a little more cogent about it now. But so for those who don't know, Limited Run Games released an anniversary edition that had already been out. You know, that's they don't make new copies of games that I'm aware of, right? Like, they don't commission.
Yeah, you put it on your wish list, because it sometimes goes on the eShop for as cheap as $10.
Oh,
so,
goodness. Okay.
If you're interested in it, yeah.
So Night Trap's got a number of upgrades through the years. It started as a VHS-based game.
Yep.
For those who are curious.
For the Nemo. The Nemo.
Did that system ever actually come out?
Which never got released.
Never got released. Okay.
No, it never came out.
So
it was based on ColecoVision hardware.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that. That's a nice tidbit.
Thank you.
So its place in history is... a bit well known, I guess, and muddled, but I'm just happy that I finally owned it for a Nintendo system. Suck it, Howard Lincoln.
Speaking. Okay. Sorry. Just a little Howard, aside, I know what you're referring to. The fact that he said in a court deposition that this game would never be on a Nintendo platform.
Right.
I would like to also point out an ad that Square Enix took out in video game magazines that said that Final Fantasy VII was too big to ever appear on a cartridge.
Oh no.
And if it was, it would be on like 1,000 cartridges or something. Oh, I don't remember the exact wording. And now it's an Asia only release, but Final Fantasy VII and VIII are being released on a cartridge for the Switch.
Right. Last episode, I believe Final Fantasy X was your future retro for similar reasons.
Yes, it was. So it was. Yes.
That's. I'm a little jealous. Maybe Little Run Games will help us out there too.
It's possible, but otherwise, it's not that expensive to import from Asia. Actually,
that's a great point. There's no reason to not do that because hashtag and region locking worked, you guys.
I love Switch so much. Right? Yeah.
So Night Trap, as a modern gaming experience is pretty interesting because they did a number of updates, that make it playable. Basically, if I had to play like the original Sega CD or what was the other system it was out for?
Okay. Night Trap was available for Sega CD, Sega CD 32X enhanced version.
Sure.
The 3DO.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think that's it. I think that's it. 3DO, yeah. Sega CD, Sega CD, Mega CD, and the 32X. And I believe PCs at the time.
Okay. So this is my first experience playing this despite its numerous re-releases and updates and soft versions. Had to get the hard version. Its story is amazing. I didn't know what I was getting into, but if you want to be surprised, maybe turn this off now. But
But like if you haven't played it by now, I mean it's been a while.
Okay, I'll talk about the mechanics then. The thing that bugged me the most. So you're in control of someone's in-home security system, that becomes part of the story. God, the reason why you're in control of it. So in the original, you wouldn't be able to see things as they moved on the other screens, probably because it was just too hardware intensive at the time. So the new version, you can see a little motion thumbnail of what's going on, like throughout the course of the
game. Which makes it so much easier to know which camera to switch to. Yeah.
So much. So the thing that I made the mistake of doing was thinking I had to trap these augers in the night.
Yeah.
I had to trap them all the time. You don't have to trap them all the time.
Yeah.
I think at best for like a first time player, what that might be good for is getting you some practice of knowing where the traps are. Although there is a helpful indicator that shows you when they're close to one. But knowing exactly where they are, because there are some times later in the game where it's pretty precise. You got to know when to spring one so you don't accidentally trap one of the good guys. But ultimately, the only things that really matter in this game are making sure that there are certain characters who can't be taken, shall we say, or you'll get failed. Everything else is pretty much optional. And the only time it really matters to trap everything is if you're going for that like specific unlock or whatever to get some cool bonus stuff. Otherwise, because trying to play the game becomes impossible because you can't follow the story. Oh my, there is a story, you guys, and it's incredible.
Yeah.
You can't follow the story. You'll miss most of the music video.
Yeah.
In the game.
I mean, that's one of the things. It's meant to be replayed over and over so that you can see the story that is the whole idea of the replayability is so you can see what's going on in the other rooms while it's going on. It's kind of a neat concept. It really is a neat concept. For those who don't know anything about Night Trap, it was a very controversial game made in the 80s, released in the 90s. When they finally had hardware that could support it, that has a very 80s aesthetic, including a sung theme song that happens. It takes place at a girl's slumber party, because of course it does.
Of course it does.
And you play a surveillance guy who's watching this slumber party, but it didn't seem creepy at the time. I don't know why. But the fact that it was live action and showed some scenes of violence caused it to basically
quote-unquote
be
violence.
That and more... I like how it's out now with a teen rating.
Right,
I think that's funny, because it was seen as the lowest of the most morally reprehensible piece of software ever released at the time.
Oh boy, they don't.
And
they
it
don't
basically
know anything.
And that and Mortal Kombat basically led to the creation of the game rating and the ESA in general.
I will say this, that once I found out precisely what the plot was, I might have issued an apology on camera during the stream to Joe Lieberman and Herb Kohl. Herb Kohl, who, by the way, was up until not too long ago still one of Wisconsin's senators.
Yep.
I guess 12 years is not too long in my book.
Has it been that long?
Wait,
how many...
Who took whose seat?
I don't.
Tammy Baldwin.
I don't even know. But anyway,
it's been like 8 years. Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah. So Night Trap. By the way, Night Trap got kind of a spiritual sequel a few years later called Double Switch, which was another trap 'em up. And Limited Run released a one of that, and I was able to snag one of those. It has not arrived yet, but when it does, I think that would be a good video.
That would be a great video.
And for those who missed the Limited Run thing, you know, if you're okay with it not being physical, a lot of these are available cheaper on the eShop.
Absolutely true, and but I recommend you pick it up because it's not only a piece of history, but I think pretty fun as long as you don't get too wrapped up in being like, I gotta trap all the bad guys. You don't. You don't. You just have to trap the bad guys.
And it's
you
never looked better. It's never looked better either.
It does look very good. Like I think
and
it
there's
was,
some cool special features. Yeah.
The effects are all like practical too, right? So they built this enormous set. Like the craftsmanship that went into this, I really have to appreciate. And it's 30 years old. Like they filmed that footage, you know, in the 80s. So,
yeah.
Hard to believe. But anyway, yeah, I recommend that. What's your future retro or Pile of Shame?
Well, I'm hoping it doesn't become Pile of Shame because I'm really getting into it right now. But I'm playing Fire Emblem The Three Houses.
Ooh.
And so far, I love it. But why I'm worried that it might become Pile of Shame is it is a big game. Mm-hmm. It is a really, really long, involved game. And I just hope that I can finish it. I'm really enjoying it so far, but there's so many other things. I've also got a copy of Dragon Quest XI that's just sitting there looking at me like, hey, I know you're enjoying your time with Fire Emblem, but look at me. I'm the new hotness. So, and of course, there's all kinds of other games coming out as well. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons that I haven't bought the new Zelda, because I know that as soon as I get it, I will play that immediately, and I'm worried that I won't come back to Three Houses.
Yep. True story. Although I have been playing while I've been playing Link's Awakening, but still.
Well, that's a thing. But it's a great game. It's what I like about it is, I used to like Fire Emblem games because of their crushing difficulty, because I quite like strategy RPGs. The idea of permadeath, so that every battle has weight and you care about the characters, and that's how I used to play them. But now I'm very happy that they have an easy mode where characters don't die permanently, and there's also even optional battles you can use to grind out and get your characters powered up so that I can play it more casually. Because I'm a filthy casual. No, but it's also because battles can be 20, 30, 40 minutes long in that game. And it used to be that, like, when I was playing Fire Emblem on the GameCube, if I lost a character, I couldn't deal with that, so I just restart the battle. So that game took me months and months and months to beat because of how I would play. But now you can you could set time back, or you can just not worry about it. You don't get as much bonus if some of your characters have died, but you don't have to start over from the beginning. And that's made it a lot better for me to play. I know some people feel that that cheapens the experience, but for me, I think that's great. And then if, you know, if I come back to play the game in the future sometime when I'm not, you know, up to my elbows and kids, it's nice that they have both options in there.
Do you have a question for Famicom Denshi Mail? Tweet us at Famicom Dojo with the hashtag Denshi Mail. Call us at 608-492-1923 and leave us a voicemail that we can play on the podcast or in a new video response. Leave a comment on this episode or one of our other videos. Or if you just want to share your own future retro or pile of shame, you can even send us a link to your YouTube video to be added to our official Denshi Mail playlist. Head over to famicomdojo.tv/podcast for more details.
Hold on, I'm going to blow my nose.
Oh no. Well, now that you've said that, I can't.
All right. There we go. That was disgusting.
Oh, God.
But anyway, great game. It's really cool to see the personalities of the characters, and I'm really glad Nintendo decided not to release it as three games, because they totally could have.
Okay.
Because in the beginning, you choose which house. It's, oh man, it's so Harry Potter-y.
I was going to ask, because aren't there four Harry Potter houses?
So, I know, but it's so Harry Potter-y, because each one has their own, you know, there's kind of the ones that are kind of the bad ones and kind of the good ones. You know, it's like, and you can recruit people from other houses, but mainly you stick with the people you have. So, like, it has tons of replayability, which I will never ever do, because the campaign with one house could take about 100 hours.
Oh, no.
So I doubt I'm going to put 300 hours into this, but still, it's really cool because the world seems kind of living and breathing. You develop these characters, you develop relationships between you and the characters, between the characters and each other, which gives you bonuses for the battles. It's just, I mean, that's been a staple of Fire Emblem forever, but it's presented nicely. It's just a really fun game. I totally recommend it, but only if you have the time to put into it.
So, yeah, it sounds like I'm going to have to pass, because those 20-30 minute battles I was doing in Civ 5 became a huge consternation point in my personal life.
I will say, though, that what's nice is because the Switch, like, you can't save during the battles, but
right. You
can put the Switch in sleep mode and come back immediately to it.
Well,
so,
I mean, Civ, you could always put down at any point. I mean, you could. That's not...
yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I see what you're saying. But anyway, that's the game that I'm most into right now. Ask me again in a couple of weeks if I'm still playing it, because the temptation is strong to switch to another game. But I'm trying to just play that and only that for a while. But I don't know. I've been jumping into the Super Nintendo stuff on the Switch as well. So, but I've decided not to start Breath of the Wild, because if it's not Breath of the Wild, sorry, Breath of Fire. Wow, there's a lot of games with breath in them.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, probably just two. But yeah,
only two that matter.
That's my plan for now. Okay.
Well, I'm pretty bummed we haven't been getting the stream to work, but I am excited for something else.
What's that? What's
Ooh,
that?
We're producing some new videos.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
We are.
I'm very excited. I put up some stuff on Twitter. I posted a couple of things on Patreon. So if you are a Patreon subscriber, you will be able to see our hints. It's more hinty stuff. I haven't completely come out of the gate with what we're doing. It's a slow build up. You see.
Yep.
Is the point. But we're sharing. We're sharing. So if you want to find out what I'm talking about, you know, just a dollar. It's just better than an ad. And we can.
Yeah.
Say your...
A dollar would be great.
Yeah.
Dollar. We would be very happy for a dollar. I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yeah. Hey, guys, we have lots of great videos you should also watch. Go through our back catalog. You can find things like Smash TV and Super Smash TV.
And Smash Brothers.
And yeah. Well, it's the Smash Brothers references anyway. But yeah, we're working on new video stuff. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. I should tell people I stream pretty much every week.
Yeah, it's
almost,
true.
Almost every it's Saturday night for me, so that's usually about Saturday afternoon in the US.
Saturday morning, and, actually.
You know, I usually stream about 11:30 Japan time. At night, and you can watch me fall asleep on camera, depending on how busy my week has been. But I've been doing... That's one of the ways that I've been playing a lot more games lately, is I've been streaming a lot of stuff. I did... I just recently did a Sega Saturn stream that went really well. It was super fun. I like to show some weird and obscure games. If you are interested, please subscribe to my YouTube channel, because this is not on the main Famicom Dojo channel. This is my side channel, so we don't clutter up for people who aren't into live streams so much. Mm-hmm. Just search for Vink.
And I'm also trying to get back into some more Pile of Shame Live stuff, like the aforementioned Night Trap stream. I think the next thing on the docket was going to be Battle for Olympus. I got some other ones, but it's been interesting trying to find time to do that, and so we'll figure that one out. But yes, in the meantime, please watch Vink, and we'll try and figure out some way to get the podcast going again, because that was super fun the last time interacting with everybody. Yep. And we got to do a Denshi Mail segment, so yay. But
oh, hey Sean. Yeah. Or maybe I can mention this in the next podcast.
Sure.
We might be going a bit long. I got another project I'm cooking up, so listen up in the next podcast for hints on that.
Which we are going to record.
Immediately.
Yeah, and not in like 3 months.
Yeah, I mean, it might be 3 months before you guys
hear it. Oh, no, don't tell me that.
It's okay. We're going to cut that part out.
Oh, good Lord. All right.
Now that I've said that, we are not.
I guess then, until next time, the dojo is...
included free as part of your subscription.
The Famicom Dojo video game podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Theme songs One More Continue and RPG were written and performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes or amaritones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Sled Judson at lewisstrations.co.uk. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded.
Famicom Dojo.